my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 442, to be broadcast on Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment and we might be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show when we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening right now on Facebook Live, you can comment down here below. Or if not, and you're listening to this on audio file, you can send me an email at bicycletalk@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. Well, I got a few of them, but I'm going to mention this one real quick because we'll talk about it a little bit more in the show. The Ride of Silence. Yes, the Ride of Silence is one of those things that it's a silent protest. It's coming up this Wednesday. It's worldwide. It's in hundreds of locations worldwide. I'll speak about it a little bit more in the show. But in the meantime, let's go on to some of the other good things that are happening on Rant World. Blue State Attorney General Sue Trump over strong arm tactic of tying DOT funds to immigration crackdown. Yeah, the U.S. Department of Transportation is illegally threatening to withhold billions of transportation funding to states that don't cooperate with the administration's immigration crackdown, a new suit argues. That's right. So, no transportation funds, no bike lanes. Are you with me here? That's why we're on Bicycle Talk. All right. Okay, and also I got some special words here from the adolescent child in public housing in Washington, D.C. He makes a comment that says, this was about Pete Buttigieg. He goes bicycling to work, Donnie said. He takes his bicycle to work. Can you believe he's running the biggest air system in the world and he takes his bicycle to work? What? We can't say it because he said it and it's not a good thing. And they say he's going to run for president. I just don't see it. Yeah, that came out of your fearless leader at the moment. Laughable, one commenter wrote, especially from someone who can't even walk 700 yards without a golf cart. Hypocrisy at its finest, attacking exercise while claiming to make America healthy again. Pathetic. Oh, and by the way, Pete Buttigieg completed an Ironman triathlon in 2023.
Wow.
Just so you know.
Ironman?
Just a full Ironman. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, just so you know. Just so you know. He's also, he was also on that whole mayor's commission that went over to Copenhagen and rode bicycles and learned all about how, 70% of your population can get themselves around on bicycles and not have to drive cars. He's a smart guy. Smart guy. Pays attention. Anyway, still love Pete. Okay. So we will talk more about the Ride of Silence a little later in the show. So I'm going to move on here. What else did I have in here? No, that's basically it for rant time. As far as on a positive side goes, it's May. It's still bike month. Yes, it is bike month. It's everybody else has got some sort of a month identified with this, too. I saw a bunch of other things that people are claiming to have to own the month of May for. But it's been bike month in May for a long time, since 57, I think, 1957. Okay, and it's the Giro. Yeah, rest day today. Boy, they needed after yesterday's stage. If you weren't watching, you missed possibly one of the most exciting days I've ever seen in cycling. It was great. It was just great. It's why I love bike racing. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in the show. And then the Mechanical Minute and Ron's Tips for the Week. Well, someone came up to me this morning, and so she takes my spin class. My friend Helen takes my spin class, and she goes, "Why do I keep getting flat tires?" And I went, I don't know. Could be anything. And she goes, "I keep getting flats. I don't get it." And so she said, "Come on down to the car. I got my wheel in the back of the car." So I went down and I looked at her wheel and I investigated it carefully. Her tire's in great shape. There should be no problem. But there was a little bit of like a scuffing or abrasion kind of look going on in there. So I explained to her that if she were to, you know, talc the tube, it might make it a little bit slipperier, therefore not cause that kind of problem. But it looks like she's got little tiny punctures that come through on the tires. So I said, state roads or back roads? Roads with names, with numbers, names or numbers? That's always the question. Well, I do live on Route 320, so she lives on a state road. Well, that's an unfortunate situation. I said, don't ride on too many state roads, because state roads will give you more flat tires than back roads will. Yeah, I know. This is not a proven fact, I will have you know. This is just an observation from when I owned a bicycle shop and was in the bicycle industry and changed a lot of flat tires. People that had problems with chronic flat tires, I just said, "So where do you ride your bike? Tell me where you like to ride. Give me a route that you like to do." And the ones who rode their bicycles on state roads, on busy roads, well-trafficked roads, always had far more flat tires than the ones who did not. Interesting fact, just thought I'd bring it up. And I figured, you know what? It's time to talk about flat tires again. Because flat tires, it's a thing that happens when you ride your bicycle. So you need some things, all right? A good set of tire levers. If you don't know what a tire lever is, go to your local bike shop. They'll explain it to you, and they'll sell you a nice set of tire levers. A portable bicycle pump. If you don't have one of those, go to your local bicycle shop. They can help you out with that, too. You can also carry with you a tire patch tube kit. I'm not a big believer in those. I like carrying a spare tube instead, because repaired patch tubes sometimes turn into another flat tire. I don't have a lot of faith in the average person going out and putting a patch on their tube and then continuing a bike ride and thinking they're going to have some success with it. I find that especially when you're in two different situations, I'll give you. One being if it's raining out, which, by the way, you get more flat tires when the roads are wet, because your tires are like magnets to glass and other debris. Don't ask why, I don't know, but it happens. And secondly, if you've been out riding your bike really hard and you get a flat and you're all sweaty and you get skin oil and sweat on the tube when you're trying to put a new patch on, chances are that patch is just not gonna happen. So you also need to carry a wrench with you if you don't have quick release wheels on your bike. Most bikes have quick release wheels these days, but if not, you need a 15 millimeter box or crescent wrench, so whatever size your wheel is that you need to take off. So it's really simple. There's 7 easy steps. Remove the wheel from your bike, use the tire levers to pry up the tire and lift it off the rim, pull out the old tube and inflate the old tube. This is important. Do not change the position that the tube is in when you take the tire and tube off the bike wheel. Very important. Why is this? Because you need to know where the hole is and how it got there. And chances are, what you will find as the tube is leaking back out again, you'll hear like a little hissing noise or whatever, and then you'll be able to locate the exact area of which you're getting the air leakage. And then you immediately look at the tire to see if it's coming from if there's something still stuck through the tire. That's really, really important. And then the other thing you may find is you might have a flat coming from the inside of the wheel, which would be a faulty rim strip, the protective strip that keeps the spokes from poking up and giving you a flat tire, and also any kind of irregularities with the rim itself could also have a little burr on it or something. That rim tape is super important, and make sure it's in good shape. And of course, now you have a couple of choices. You can either patch your tube or get a new tube. Definitely do the new tube. Carry a new tube with you. If you're going to do a patch tube, and that is going to be, you can probably use that as your spare some other time, but I really highly recommend that you do any kind of patching of your tubes when you're at home and relaxed and not desperate to get back before dark, as some people I'm sure have experienced when you get a flat tire. It's never at the right time. So anyway, I stay away from patch tubes as much as I can. And then you can reinflate your tire back up to the recommended pressure and get on your ride. Now, here comes the fun part. I can get my front wheel off and put my front wheel back on, because I do it a lot to put my bike in and out of the back of my car. But that rear wheel just scares me. And that one, I'm afraid, folks, is just going to require practice. Lots and lots and lots of practice. You get better at it after you do your first 1,000 flat tires. If you own a bike shop, you know what I'm talking about. If you worked in a bike shop, you know what I'm talking about. But it's true. Practice does make perfect. And so you do need to learn some of the little tricks taking your rear wheel off the bike. If you're taking your rear wheel off a multi-speed bike, this is probably what most people would have, then what you have to do is you have to shift the bike down into the hardest pedaling gear in the back to begin with. And once you do shift it all the way down there, now you can take a look. Now you're going to make it a lot easier to take that wheel off the back of the bike. Also, number two on the list, remember to flip the quick release on the brake so the brake pads open up, therefore allowing you to get the either deflated or partially inflated tire through the brake pads. That's like an essential thing, because when you go to put it back on, if you pump the tire up before you put the wheel back on, you're not going to be able to get it up through those brake pads, and you're just going to struggle with it. Now comes the fun part. Get to the back of the bike. You're looking towards the front of the bike. You pick the bike up off the ground or off the road or wherever you are. You flip your quick release wheel, or you've unbolted your bolts if you have nuts holding the wheel on, and you grab onto the rear derailleur, that mechanism in the back that shifts it over the gears, and you grab it and pivot it all the way back. So you're pulling it all the way back, really stretching out that chain, and then push the wheel down, and it should just drop down, and it'll be a lot easier to do that if you have it shifted all the way down to that far gear. When you go to put it back on, same thing, same idea. Okay, you just kind of guide the chain in where it belongs on the top of the cog, on that last cog, and then just let it all, I like to let gravity do the job at this point, and just let it sit down and kind of slide itself back into place. It should be easy. It is, like I said, after you do your first 1,000, it's a piece of cake. But I do have frustration when I'm out on a bike ride with a group and I see someone struggling with their bike when they're trying to fix their flat. And I can't tolerate it. I can't deal with it. And I go, please step away from the bicycle.
You should get over yourself.
I should get over myself. But at the same time, I also want to get on with the ride. And so do most of the other people on the ride. And it just makes it a lot easier if I can do it myself and do it quickly. And I know that doesn't give that person practice, but I don't want that to happen on the ride that I'm on that I would like to keep going. So anyway, I usually do a tutorial whenever I change a flat tire in with a group ride. I explain exactly what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So if you're ever on a ride with me, you get to learn the things to look for and the right things to do and the wrong things to do. I explain everything very carefully as I'm going through it. And then off we go. But anyway, so these are things that are pretty basic for lots of us who have been riding bikes for a long time. When you're using your tire levers, you space them about 3 spokes apart, and then you can pry them up. Some tires, I'm going to warn you right away, some tires are really, really tight and really difficult to get off. And it's not generally even a tire issue. It's a tire and rim combination issue. And so that can be a problem too. And the now that people are using these tubeless tires and not having a tube in the inside and getting a flat, but if they burp out all of the sealant in the inside of the tire, now you got to put a tube in, because why use tubeless tires anyway? Anyway, I'm not going to get into that debate today, because I know people get upset with me whenever I do. But I'm an old school guy. I like tubes inside my tires if I'm going to be riding on clincher tires. So anyway, I also highly encourage you to use your hands when replacing tires and not using tire levers to put your tire back on. Using your hands is much harder to do because you need a lot of strength in your hands of which to do it. But it is truly the safer way of doing it. I've seen people pinch their brand new tube with a tire lever, and then they got to start all over again. So once again, that's why I say step away from the bike. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Mark. How are you doing today? Yeah, Kevin, I'm getting to the ride of silence in a bit. So anyway, I'll talk about that in a bit. So anyway, when you go to put everything back on, now this is important. You have found your flat, you found your whatever it is, your shard of metal or your glass, little piece of glass that poked through, and you got rid of that. Now you put everything all back together again. Now you're trying to put the tire and the tube back onto the wheel. Always start from the valve. Did I mention this? Always start from the valve. Most important of all, always start from the valve. And the reason is because that's the bulkiest part of the tube, and you want to make sure that you're working your way away from that on both sides as you work your hands around to put the tire back onto the rim. And I usually have a very little bit of air in the tube, just enough to give it volume and shape. But then when I get all the way around where things start getting tight, I'll let the air out. A number of things you need to watch out for. Here's another tip for you. Push the valve up into the tire. Do not pull it down into the rim. I see that classic mistake every time. You're guaranteed to have a quality blowout after that if you do that. So please don't do that. And those little apparatus that you use to tighten down the valve against the rim, if you have a Prestavalve, throw them out. Never use them. I don't like those either. Yeah, I'm an old bike guy. I got certain opinions about certain things. And the only reason I have these opinions is because I've seen the problems that occur when you do it the other way. So I know it looks a lot nicer to have that little thumb nut screwed down against the rim, but it can cause problems if you're not super careful with them. That's just my feeling and my opinion. So anyway, when you go to put it back on, again, you use your hands. It's going to be really hard. I'm not going to kid you. For a while, when I first started doing this, when I was first, working as a professional mechanic in a bike shop, it took a little while to get the calluses on the hands so you could really... pushing and get that tire in place. Plus you will work on your hand strength. It's really great exercise. Anyway, hopefully that will help you get yourself back on your road again. Make sure you inflate your tire back to your recommended pressure or what you're used to using for pressure. The small hand pumps do require a little bit more of a time and work effort as far as that goes. A lot of people like to use CO2s. I hate them. I don't use them. I find them to be dangerous because if you don't have everything exactly right, and I mean exactly right, you can blow the tire off the rim, destroying the tire and the tube, both. So I'm not a big CO2 fan. I know they're quick. I know they're easy and light to carry. I like a pump. I'm like, again, once again, old school guy. Love the pump. That's it. That's my flat tire explanation. I know it's kind of hard as far as an explanation goes. It's better to, here's something you can do. Go to YouTube and watch a video. My favorite place to get information. YouTube is wonderful because they'll show you, hopefully you'll find someone who really shows you the exact right way to do it as I've explained it. And it's just that's what you want to do. So why do you keep getting flats? There's usually a reason. It's hard to say, but I would say road choice is probably one of the prime reasons why you get lots of flat tires. Second prime reason why you get flat tires, not enough air in the tires. Yep, it happens. Then you'll get pinch flats. If you want to know what a pinch flat is, it looks like a snake bite. Two little dots right next to one another. That is a pinch flat. So anyway, flat tires happen. It's part of riding your bike. And hopefully you don't get very many flat tires, and hopefully you get lots of very pleasant miles. Let's move on to the ride of silence. So the ride of silence, and this is an international event. It happens the third Wednesday in the month of May every year at the same time all around the world at 7 p.m. is what it is. There's hundreds of locations worldwide, including not in the United States, also Aruba, Brazil, Canada, Cyprus, Germany, India, Israel, Mexico, and Romania all have rides of silence at this time. Now, I was on the Ride of Silence website today, and I was just kind of looking at it to see. I think that somebody needs to do some updating on that website. But what is available there is if you go to the locations area and you click on the United States, you will find all the states listed that have rides of silence. And then you click on the state and it will give you anywhere from 1 to 7 different places that are having rides of silence. And in Connecticut, we have one. And that one place is right here in Storrs, Connecticut. And it is, we've been doing this for a number of years now. Kevin Mahan has been putting this on for a long time. And then I got together with him and said, Kevin, let's move it to Storrs. He was doing it out in Danielson, getting a handful of people to show up, or Putnam. I can't remember which one, Kev. Sorry. Anyway, and I encouraged him to move it to Storrs and maybe we could get a little bit larger feed because we're A, near a university campus, which is sometimes helpful. And B, we're also close enough to the greater Hartford area to draw people out from maybe a little bit larger draw. And so we did that, and immediately our numbers went way up, and it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun to see that. It's not a fun ride as far as the theme goes, but it is nice to see people out there doing the silent protest. Because this is a silent protest. Why does the organization exist? To honor those who have been injured or killed by a motorized vehicle while riding a bike. We also include pedestrians in here because pedestrians are, this is a big number that keeps increasing every year, especially in Connecticut. We're having a big problem with it. So to raise awareness that we are here, otherwise known as Don't Hit Me, I'm on a Bicycle, you know, See Me Now, that sort of thing. And to ask that we all share the road. And that goes both ways, folks. It goes, if you ride a bike, you are also responsible for sharing the road with a motorized vehicle, because the roads are made for wheels, and that's what it is. So the ride of silence will not be quiet. All right. So on Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, at 7 p.m., the Ride of Silence will traverse and unite the globe as nothing before it. Cyclists will take to the roads in a silent procession to honor cyclists who have been killed or injured while cycling on public roadways. Although cyclists have a legal right to share the road with motorists, the motoring public often isn't aware of these rights and sometimes not aware of the cyclists themselves. So in 2003, Chris Phelan organized the very first Ride of Silence in Dallas after endurance cyclist Larry Schwartz was hit by the mirror of a passing bus and killed. And so that's when Chris put this whole thing together. And it was a free ride that asked cyclists to ride no faster than 12 miles per hour, wear helmets, follow the rules of the road, and remain silent during the ride. There's no registration fee. The ride, which is held during National Bike Month, aims to raise the awareness of motorists, police, and city officials that cyclists have a legal right to the public roadways. The ride is also a chance to show respect for and honor the lives of those who've been killed or injured. So anyway, we're doing it right here in beautiful downtown Storrs, Connecticut. We're asking people to gather at the town hall, which is on South Eagleville Road, 4 South Eagleville Road, and also the community center, 10 South Eagleville Road in Storrs, Connecticut. And if you need more parking, because we sometimes get more people than we have room to park everyone, there is overflow parking at E.O. Smith High School, which is on the other side of the town hall. There's lots of parking. So if you're coming in from outside of town, please utilize that parking area over there too. But you'll see lots of people with bicycles, and we'll try to gather somewhere between 6:30 and 6:45, and we'll have a few announcements to make, and then we will roll out. And we do put a ghost bike out on the course where we all kind of stop and take a look at the ghost bike and then keep going. It's a very slow ride. It's great. If you want to bring kids with you, fine, but we definitely need parents to be with kids, and we definitely need everyone to have a helmet on their head, please. Very, very important. The University of Connecticut Police Department is going to be helping us with this again this year, and they will escort us around on the 3 mile, at least, maybe a few minutes, maybe it's even less than 3 mile course. We're going to go real slow, so that's no one gets dropped, no one gets left behind. Everybody stays together as a large group, and if it works, and we keep everyone together, that's the plan. We keep everyone together, and when we turn back onto the state road, which is Route 195, which goes right through the middle of campus, we will command the lane. We will take over the lane between North Eagleville Road and South Eagleville Road and make our statement. And if there are cars behind us, then they're just going to have to wait. We're trying to make a statement here. And that's what we're doing on Wednesday night. And shout out to Kevin, who's out there, because I see a howdy from Kevin on the screen here. So that's cool, because this was Kevin's baby, and he did a great job in getting this together and getting me inspired about it, and it's just very, very cool. Very, very cool. So that's the Ride of Silence coming up this Wednesday evening. Please come out, attend. We might just, you know, go out for a little bite to eat afterwards or whatever. There's lots of things to do in Storrs now. So anyway, if you're interested in coming, we'd love to have you. We would love to have you. And we're the only one in the state of Connecticut. So if you live in the state of Connecticut, come make a statement with us. We'd really appreciate the numbers. All right, that's the end of my rite of silence. What else do I have here on my list? Oh, so there's a tariff war going on, as you know. It comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. It seems to be sort of, I don't know, what do I say about this? It doesn't seem like it's like the boy who cried wolf. And you remember the old story, boy who cried wolf and cried wolf, and there was no wolf. And then he cried wolf again, there was no wolf. And then he finally, when there was a wolf, nobody came because they said, ah, heck with him. Who's going to believe that? It's sort of like that. Because we have a tariff, and then we don't have a tariff. And then we have a tariff, and then we don't have a tariff. And the bike industry, of course, is very, very, very connected to this, like in a huge way. And you want to know why? Because we have a lot of stuff that's made elsewhere, not here. And very, very little that's made here. I think the only thing that's really actually made in the United States still at this time that you could possibly purchase for your bicycle is your seat post. Yeah, it's all true. So anyway, we have a little update here from the folks at Streets Blog. And this is from Kia Wilson, one of our favorite authors here with Streets Blog. And the trade war with China could wipe out America's ability to buy bikes, bike components, and even helmets they need to ride safely, according to the trade association representing the industry. That's a bicycle retailer. Unless President Trump gives manufacturers more time and support to bring production back onto the shore. The coalition of bike companies led by nonprofit People for Bikes sent the president a letter to ask him to exclude bike-related imports from his proposed tariffs in China, which they argue could still devastate an industry despite recent negotiations that have driven tariff levels down. That's because the bike sector has been forced to depend so heavily on foreign trade over the years that around 97.8% of all bikes sold today are imported from abroad, with a vast majority of those shipments coming from China itself. Got that number? 97.8% of bikes sold today. While America once made all the bicycles that we needed, the group wrote, policymakers failed to fight back on a flood of cheap bikes from overseas that gradually put domestic manufacturers out of business. The decade-long cascade of policy failures forced U.S. bike companies to source most of the 200 or so parts in each vehicle from manufacturers in foreign countries, pushing the industry to its limits even before Trump sparked a trade war with their primary suppliers. Today, even critical and often legally required bicycle safety accessories like helmets, overwhelmingly produced overseas, are as are necessary ones like bike pumps and even bike shorts. On many bikes, only the seat post is reliably American made. So I thought this would be kind of a fun time to transition over to. There's a great picture that is with this article, and it's it shows a person standing next to a bicycle, and from the very, I'll start from the top down, and it has a little balloon coming off of the helmet, and the helmet says China 170% production of helmets comes from China. All right, and we're gonna go down the list here as we work our way across this particular bicycle. Now, this is not every bicycle, but it kind of gives you a rough idea of what's going on. If you use a computer on your bike, GPS computer, China, 145% of them are made in China. Handlebar tapes and grip, Pakistan, 31%. Interesting. Didn't know that one. Handlebars, Italy, 30%. Stem, China, 170%. Shift levers, Taiwan, 32%. Saddle, China, 178%. Shorts, Bangladesh, 52%. But there's a lot coming out of China now, too. Frame, China, 175%. Tires, Thailand, 36%. Cassette, the gears in the back, Malaysia, 24%. Chain, Portugal, 45%. That must be SRAM. Hubs, Switzerland, 41%. Brake, Indonesia, 42%. Crankset, Japan, 24%. Pedals, Japan, 34%. Pump, China, 159%. And shoes, Vietnam, 51%. Now, this is just one example of a bicycle and gear that the bicycle rider is using. And it can be, the numbers could be a lot different. There could be quite a large number of these numbers, even when you're looking at like chains and other things that are sourced out of some other different areas, you're still going to see much of it comes from China more than anything else. So this is a big problem because we may not be able to afford bicycles anymore in the United States if this particular tariff war continues. So that's great for everyone in the oil and the car production industry. They can't wait for this to happen because, you know, certain people make fun of people that ride bicycles, even though we're very serious about it. So I'm kind of on a rant here, which is going to continue because this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. You're going to kill an industry that doesn't have a chance of coming back without serious, serious subsidies from the federal government in order to bring it back. And I know that those subsidies tend to go to much larger industries with much bigger lawyers and bigger pockets. And so this is not something that we are going to see. We should not be held hostage by these tariffs. And if we have someone who's governing this country who is able to do something positive about it, now's the time. We're waiting. So the dependency means that rather than creating new American jobs as is intended, the threat on tariffs has U.S.-based bike companies contemplating additional layoffs or even outright closures, including some of the few remaining domestic manufacturers and companies that assemble bikes on U.S. soil. We are working with members of Congress to create an environment of domestic manufacturing, but this initiative will take many years and significant financial investments, likely in reference to a 2024 bill that would bolster the U.S. bike industry through tax credits and other initiatives. In the meantime, our industry urgently needs tariff relief in order to marshal the resources needed to continue moving our supply chains, including to the United States. The thing is, we're not going to move it to the United States. We can't make a bicycle chain cheaper than anyone else in the world. We can't even come close. We can't make bicycle tires any cheaper than other places in the world. We have restrictions on environmental restrictions. Not saying that it's good that some of these environmental issues are disregarded in other countries, but the fact is, we're never going to be able to build an affordable bicycle tire in the United States. It's just not going to happen. Going down a list of components and the designs behind the components and the patents there behind them, we're not even going to be close. I saw this happen when I got back into the industry back in the 70s. And, you know, with the 60s, there was still a pretty strong American presence. And, you know, we still had the Schwinn Bicycle Company was still around before it went bankrupt three times. Another story. too late, anyway, they waited too long to make the changeover to going abroad to bring product in from outside of this country. And that hurt Schwinn a lot. They lost a lot of market share, and they owned a lot of market share before that. But they were building bikes that were just way too heavy and very poorly equipped, and they didn't stand a chance when all of a sudden Japan started shipping bicycles to the United States, and they were phenomenally better than what you were getting from Schwinn. And of course, if you were buying upper-end bicycles, high-end bikes, the bikes coming out of Europe were far superior than anything that we could produce here in the United States, unless you were manufacturing them yourself, being a small frame builder, of which we have a couple still here in the state of Connecticut. And those frame builders were pulling in nothing but imported parts to build those bikes. They were either coming from Italy or they're coming from Japan. And that was it. And that started all the way back in the 70s, the 60s and the 70s. And we couldn't keep up with that. We couldn't compete with that at that time, even at that time when manufacturing cost us a lot less back then. So American bike industry isn't looking necessarily to have all of the tariffs eliminated, but there's a lot of influence here on what's going on. And I know why companies like Schwinn waited for so long, because they were very angry because the Chinese in particular were violating a lot of the rules of engagement in world economy. And they were subsidizing a lot of the manufacturing that's happening. They still do this. They definitely still do this. And so it made it really, really hard to compete. But at the same time, we could have done the same thing. But we don't choose to do that. We choose to put a lot of our irons in a one particular fire, and it tends to be motorized vehicles more than self-propelled vehicles like bicycles. And so that's kind of a problem. So could we be doing better? Probably. Are we doing better? No, we're not even close. So there is a focus on China's competitive threat, and we understand what that competitive threat is, but until you can come up with a better answer, don't create a new problem, please. We really, really need to protect the American jobs. And that's the big thing here. While what is not completely understood here is the number of people that work in the bicycle industry here in the United States and the jobs that are supported by that here in the United States. And those jobs, I'm watching bike shops close right and left. I'm seeing it all the time. It's happening all around me. And I know it's happening in other places in the United States. There's just been a real redesign of the whole bicycle retail image happening in the last few years, probably the last 10 or 15 years. So this is not going to help that. It's not going to keep your local guy in business, and it's just going to make it more of a struggle than it ever has been in the past. And if you can't get bike parts, you can't even fix the bikes you have here. And if you can't buy the bike parts because they're too expensive, then where are we? That's all I ask, is where are we here? So this is a problem. I would like to see it go away. I don't know if it will, but you never know. It could happen. I don't depend on anything at this point. There's other things that, you know, we could be doing, the whole e-bike thing. We could be doing some of that here now, but we're not. Pretty much everything is, once again, it is developed outside of this country. It is imported into this country, and we don't stand a chance at being able to produce anything like that here in the United States. You have to be realistic about what it is that we can do here and what we cannot do here. It's a world economy, and this is the way it is now. We signed up for this a long time ago, and now I think it's coming back and it's biting us all in the butts. But that's just my opinion. I remember my son coming home from school and saying something to me about, but Dad, it's a world economy, and if everybody participates in it, then no one is poor anymore. It was a nice idea. It was truly a nice idea, but it didn't really work that way. So anyway, let's move on to other things here, because we are going to just simply run out of time if I do not. The Giro d'Italia. What do you think, huh? What do you think? Oh my God, the Giro has been great. If you have not been watching the Giro, you're missing out on some really classic great bike racing. And there's more stages to come. We're really like a week and 3 days into the tour, the Giro. There was a rest day last Monday. There's a rest day today on Monday when I'm recording the show. And but the first 3 days were in Albania, so then there was really was like a travel day to get everybody over to Italy, which is a nightmare in itself. But the unbelievable things that are going on in the Giro right now are really fun. So let's see here. Do I have updates here and stuff here I wanted to mention here before I get into yesterday's race, which was just well worth the time spent watching it. If you had to sit around at all yesterday, that was a good thing to do. I know you'd rather be out riding your bike. I get that. I understand for sure. But anyway, so let's see here. Where's my standings here? Dun, 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 dun. So what we have is the last week, we've had some interesting things that have happened. And we're going to back up here to, if I can just find where I was. Week two. Okay, so I don't have week one in front of me, but there were a number of different races that were happening all during this week. And the thing that we're really looking at right now, and this is an up and comer, and he is he's from Mexico, and he's young. He's 21 years old. I'm seeing visions of Tadej Pogačar from years ago, and this young boy his name is Isaac. Oh, da, 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 da. Come on. Del Toro, Isaac Del Toro. You're going to have to start remembering that name. We're going to be talking about this name a lot. He and Wout Van Aert had a breakaway yesterday. That was, first of all, it was like kind of the who's who of professional bicycle racing that were really commanding the front of the peloton yesterday in various places, spaces in between, breakaways off of breakaways. It was just a classic race. And what makes it even more classic is it's the roads of the Strada Bianca. So we're talking about very, very narrow farm roads in the middle of wine country, beautiful, unbelievably pretty areas for you to ride your bike and race your bike. And then dirt roads, lots of dirt. So this was the one gravel ride of the actual race. But there, a couple of days back, Juan Ayuso had won one of the big stages, and it was a hilly mountain stage, and he rides for Team Emirates, and he looked like he was going to be a very strong contender, and he's just got an amazing team behind him. There are three of those riders that are in the top 10 at this time, including Brandon McNulty from the United States, and they all ride for the same team. The other one, though, is our new who the heck is this guy? He's the Mexican prodigy, and he might just win the Giro. It's really amazing. He ended up getting away with Wout van Aert. Now, Wout van Aert has not won a race in a while, and it's been a heavy weight on his shoulders for a long time. He finished in a race early, one of the classics earlier this year, and his son, his little boy. Wout's very much a family man, by the way. It's really impressive to see him after the race, and he's got his family right there. He's kind of a cool guy in many ways. Anyway, his son looked at him and said, "Why didn't you win, Dad?" How about what kind of pressure is that, huh? Yikes. Anyway, so he made good on it yesterday. The pain that he was in and that they were in, both of them at the end of that race, if anyone can show pain on a face, it's Wout van Aert. Boy, oh boy, he just did not look good. And he had some comments about it too. And it's, you know, he was just really, they were all hurting really bad. But this Isaac Del Toro, 21 years old, he's riding with one of the best riders in the world. And they hit a 14% grade at the very, very end of the race. And they both looked like they didn't have anything left. And after they got over that's when Wout made his move. And I'm telling you, used every inch of the road. I thought he was going to hit a barrier. He went around a corner so fast. And he was able to hold him off to the end. And it was just a classic bike race. So if you missed it, then I'm really sorry you missed it, because it's all really, really good stuff. Week two is coming up, and this is what they're classically calling week two. Tomorrow is a time trial, and things are going to be really interesting. But the thing that we need to watch is we have what we call here the Sepp Kuss issue going on. And remember Sepp Kuss in the Vuelta a España a couple years ago? That's what's happening. We've got this young kid who wasn't supposed to be there, but he was there, and he put on a lot of hurt on everybody. And the way the results are standing right now, Del Toro is at 33 hours, 36 minutes, and 45 seconds. In second place, and he's wearing the pink jersey, in second place is Ayuso from Team Emirates, who was their projected GC guy. He's a minute and 13 seconds back. Okay, time to make some decisions here. Do we keep this young kid up front? Because he sure can ride. He sure can ride hills. He's a very, he's won some significant races in his junior years. What do you do with him? What do you do with him? It's not an easy decision. And so, the UAE Team Emirates team is going to have to take a really, really good look at this, because they got three guys right now that are sitting in the top 10, and one of them is wearing the pink jersey, and he's up by a minute and 13. Now, this time trial that happens tomorrow is going to be a major factor, because if Ayuso has a great time trial, then he's going to have to go back to doing the work for him. That's all there is to it. But what if he doesn't? We don't know yet. It's very exciting. I love bike racing, and I love this race. It's just so, so much fun. So anyway, let's move on to, we'll talk more about it as we go along. There's going to be a big week coming up. There's some interesting terrain ahead of us. There's a good mix, both after, before and after. But let's go on to events. I got someone reached out to me a couple days ago for the Southbridge Credit Union Tour of Apakum. Bike ride for land conservation, which is going to be on September 21st. And they reached out to me because they said, you helped us promote this last year on your show. We'd really like you to help again. So I'm doing it. Here you are. You're getting a mention here. The conservation properties in Brimfield, Sturbridge, Munson, and surrounding towns. And there's an after party at a brewery and winery, and you know, there's going to be food trucks and live music and games. It looks like a lot of fun. So put that one on your calendar as a September 21st as a, I might want to do that. From Eurobike, by the way, is coming up in June 25th through the 29th. So that is in Frankfurt, Germany. It is currently Bike Month, National Bike Month. We have the Ride of Silence coming up this Wednesday evening. We'd love to see you there. Hope to see you there. That would be cool, too. The Best Buddies Ride is May 21st, 2025. The Best Buddies Boston to Hyannisport Ride. There's a 100-mile ride, a 55-mile ride, and a 20-mile ride. And Sir Mark Cavendish will be there this year. So, finishing points. What are you doing for Bike Month? How about a Ride of Silence? So where does that bike come from? Interesting, isn't it? Are you watching the Giro? And this clip from my friends at the League of American Bicycles. Bicycling is freedom. Life is better for everyone when more people ride bikes. The League is making biking an easier and safer option for more people because when more people ride bikes, people are happier, healthier, and our communities are safer and friendlier, and our planet is greener. Together, we can help more people know about the joy of bicycling. I'll say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about dangerous roads, price of gas, lack of places to safely ride your bike, and do your part. And hey, take on that Pedal and Ron challenge. Park your car or truck one day and just ride your bike instead. You might just surprise yourself. Remember, whether you're riding your bike or driving your car, please be safe and kind. And I hope to see you Wednesday night. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Franz Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, give us a little comment down here. Or if not, you can always send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you'd like to contribute information, drop me an email. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thanks for listening. See you Wednesday. See you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!